Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is yet again a stern condemnation for a president, not a chance we're going to say it, who recently enacted three completely unacceptable executive orders. First, the Environmental Protection Agency will be phasing out our beloved stop-start feature on cars. You know, where the car shuts off when you pull up to a red light and then restarts when you press the gas, by no longer offering carbon offset credits to manufacturers who install it on their new vehicles. Ugh! We have been working so hard to make driving a car so unpleasant that people will abandon their planet-killing four-wheel monsters in favor of riding bicycles, or jogging, or even in total desperation using public transit. And to have one of our greatest devices for ruining the joy of driving taken away when two-thirds of all new cars have the annoying feature is very discouraging. Artificial inconvenience and unnecessary cost are our greatest weapons. Why bother trying to tax people out of their cars when we can annoy them out of their cars? What next? Will he relax emission standards, defund electric vehicle subsidies, and stop advancing Vision Zero? So disappointing. Second, the man in the White House with the black Sharpie has told the Department of Energy to eliminate its regulations that reduce the water usage for clothes washers, dishwashers, showerheads, toilets, and urinals. Double ugh. Does he not realize how vital it is that people constantly be thinking about how they are destroying the planet and finding new and better ways to demonstrate their loyalty to our dear Mother Earth beloved Gaia? We know that making showers put out half as much water only makes people less clean, smell more, and angry. We know that robbing them of the joy of sufficient water pressure to actually use the massage setting on the aftermarket shower head will only make them resent us more. But chant it with me. Resentment is awareness. Resentment is awareness. And if they're irritated, at least they're thinking about how we, the government, is helping them be a better they, the people. Third, and this is perhaps the worst, President Red Hat has decreed that criminal enforcement against those who commit regulatory offenses is no longer a priority of his administration. He even had the audacity to complain about the sheer volume of the 175,000 pages of the Code of Federal Regulations as something no ordinary person could digest, comprehend, or comply with. Of course! The whole purpose of massive bureaucracy is so we can use fear and uncertainty to stifle innovation, restrain independence, and undermine confidence in the population so they can be more easily governed. The Chinese have this down to a science. When everything is illegal, then everyone is guilty, meaning anyone can be arrested so that all live in fear and they will meekly comply and not question. How dare he strive to take away this basic tool of governmental coercion? Triple ugh! Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Our second remembrance is for the word actress. In case you had not noticed, our cultural thought tour guides in late-night television are no longer referring to persons identified female at birth who perform in television shows and movies as actresses. Jimmy Kimmel.
Our first guest tonight is an Emmy-winning comedian, actor, podcaster, and one of a small handful of guests who've seen me in a towel. Please welcome Sarah Silverman.
Actor. Stephen Colbert.
My first guest tonight is an Academy Award-winning actor you know from Black Swan, Jackie, and May December. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Natalie Portman.
Actor. And Jimmy Fallon.
Our first guest is an Emmy-winning and Oscar-nominated actor and producer. Everyone, please welcome Salma Hayek-Pino.
See, now you might think that Jimmy Fallon, in particular, is only working to regain his status as nominally compliant with the Rainbow Ally Board of Review after he so disgustingly referred to a transgender female as buddy several months ago. I know, gross. But I think we should interpret this instead as mere voluntary compliance with the newest phase of relanguaging under the dictates of the 8th Imperial Vocabulary Proclamation of the Semi-Permanent Standing Committee from the International Magisterium on Virtue, Performance, and Language, third printing. You see, originally, the English word for a person who pretends to be someone else on stage or film by repeating words written for them by other people, one of the most essential jobs in our society, by the way, was actor. Then, around 1700, the term actress gained prominence as first a way of recognizing that more women were entering a traditionally male field, but eventually as a slander to women who weren't doing a truly female thing with their lives, such as raising children, or running a brothel. But in the 1970s, our heroes, the feminists, began demanding a gender-neutral term for the profession as a whole. And instead of abandoning the terminology altogether, as we've done by replacing waiter and waitress with the uber-bland server, or steward and stewardess with the ever-clunky flight attendant, the industry decided to simply recapture actor as a gender-blind universal label, Academy Awards categories aside. But of course, this solves another pressing problem for the industry. What should it do with the gender fluids? I don't mean the fluids arising from interactions between the genders. I mean those persons who do not self-categorize as either male or female, the they-thems and z-zims of the entertainment industry. Since it's not accurate to call them either actors or actresses, as they defy the gender binary, we could invent whole new words. Perhaps act-its, or act-rights, or act-thems, or maybe act-alongs, if we really wanted to avoid linguistic baggage. But instead of amplifying gender in the terminology, the magisterium has called for a degendering of the spectrum, so from henceforth, there shall be no more actresses, not even act-uncertains or act-what's-its, they shall simply be actors. And for obvious reasons, we definitely don't call them thespians. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, this week's bronze tambourine with double hemp tassels goes to the National Football League for preserving the use of a controversial short yardage play perfected by the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, the tush push. The play entails the offense treating the quarterback himself as the ball by using brute force to simply push him across the goal line via his buttocks, rather than having him try to run the ball on his own power. Although a majority of the teams voted this week to prohibit the play, most of them frustrated because they've been unable to stop the Eagles when they use it or to perfect its use themselves, NFL rules do require a 75% supermajority for rules changes, which would have been 24 of 32 teams, but only 22 teams voted to ban the play. So at least for now, the Eagles will continue to dominate short yardage situations by shoving Jalen Hurts across the line with their hands on his hiney. Now you might wonder why we stand so enthusiastically in favor of this decision. After all, the otherin of our order usually shun the toxic masculinity of sports in general, and football in particular. And we certainly are offended that there are no openly gay players on any NFL team. But no, we love the brotherly shove, precisely because it is the most flagrantly gay play in all of football. In the act of watching multiple men aggressively shove their hands into every nook and cranny of the quarterback's rear end in a massive display of brute force, if that doesn't strike you as demonstrably homoerotic, well, I'm not sure what would. Fingers and hands slipping and slopping around the quarterback's nethers in an effort to find purchase and thrust violently for just a few inches of gain? They might as well be wearing G-strings in a ring full of mud. But once we started analyzing this wonderfully most gay of plays, it occurred to us just how much of football lends itself to rainbow inclusivity. Think about the penalties. Illegal use of hands. Tackling from behind. Illegal touching. Roughing the passer, too many men in formation. When looked at from the right perspective, so much of football's prohibitions seem to focus on defining just what level of gayness is allowed. Then consider some of the formations and plays. There's the razzle-dazzle, which sounds like some jazz hands variant on a play designed by the offensive choreographer, coordinator. There's the run-pass option, which allows the quarterback to go either way, much like something the B in LGBT might practice. The double reverse, which might as well be the drink special at a gay bar. The hook and ladder. Don't get me started with fire station references. The flea flicker, with its effort to disguise who really has possession of the almighty ball. The Statue of Liberty. The wedge. And even on defense, what could be gayer than playing man-to-man? But the only thing you can really say isn't fully inclusive about football is that, unlike baseball, the hidden ball trick is prohibited. But you surely can tuck it in and pile on and fight over who has possession of the almighty ball at the bottom of the scrum as much as you like. You certainly can't tell me that a bunch of overly testosterone men bumping and grinding it out on the gridiron, wearing uniforms that feature exposed midriffs and the equivalent of spandex capri pants, aren't showing just a little bit of their own willingness to experiment. No, not only are we thrilled that the tush push will continue to penetrate tight defenses, but we have discovered a newfound affection for virtually every element of the game of football and its obvious inclusivity towards all sorts of male bonding. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.